This morning, I want to encourage you to take out your Bibles and open up to Ephesians chapter 3. I've got to tell you, this is a message that I need to hear. This is a passage that I needed to read. And I believe that you're going to find some encouragement here as well. Because life is difficult. Sometimes as we go through life, it seems that life just kind of presses in around us and squeezes us to the point that we don't know if we can go on any longer. Sometimes adversity, the things that face us, seem overwhelming. And Paul, in this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, is going to pray a prayer of endurance for us, that we can really know where to turn when things in life come crashing in upon us. Perhaps you've heard the story of George Frederick. George Frederick was intent on writing a musical composition, had his heart set on that. And one day he developed a terrible illness and was unable to even easily get out of bed in the morning. But that was his life's ambition, to write this musical composition. George, his finances were in such a situation that he couldn't even afford medication that might have helped him deal with this situation. But nevertheless, he continued to get up and get out of bed and work on this composition. The collectors were calling. They were knocking on his door and saying, "George, you've got debts to pay, and if you don't take care of this, we're going to throw you in jail." But George continued to get out of bed and get up in the morning and work on this composition. Every day, he continued to do this. His dream was that someday, someone, somewhere would hear this and would be blessed by it, would experience it. One day that happened as he was given a royal audience in London. And during the performance of this musical composition, the King of England stood up. You may not know George Frederick. Perhaps you recognize his full name, George Frederick Handel, and his writing of Handel's Messiah. You know, you could read the words that he wrote as he worked on that composition. And his prayer was, "God, help me through this. Help me do something great for your name. Help me write down on paper what it is you would have me write." It's a great story of how not to lose heart, even in the midst of adversity, of trying situations. It's also a reminder that as Christians, we have a place to turn. We have someone to turn to when things aren't going well. And really that God can and will create a masterpiece in us, a masterpiece of praise in our lives if we only would allow Him to work, if we would remain faithful. Now I want to pause just a minute and run down a trail. Perhaps you've heard this saying in life that God will never give you more than you can bear. Oh, you're a strong person. God will never give you more than you can handle. And sometimes people go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. They talk about no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But they may read it this way. No trial in life has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you go through anything beyond what you can bear. But when you face trials, He'll also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's not what Scripture says. It's talking about temptation. When I look in the Old Testament and see examples of men and women who lived the lives that they lived, God allowed them to go through plenty of situations that they could not handle on their own. The New Testament is full of examples of men and women who went through situations, trials, and times, and difficulties that they could not handle on their own. So I just want to put that argument to rest this morning and hopefully forever. God will, friends, allow you to go through situations that you cannot handle on your own. But that's not exactly what we're talking about this morning. Paul has this prayer of endurance, this prayer of perseverance, a prayer for us so that we don't get discouraged. Perhaps you know what that feels like. You've been going through life and the pressures of life are getting you down. Maybe it's just the constant day in and day out of going to work and doing the same thing over and over and over again, and you're just wondering, how do I continue? How do I keep going? Maybe for some of you, you're even at the place where you just like to give up. Throw in the towel. Toss it in and say, I quit. I can't take this anymore. I don't want to keep going. If you're in that position, friends, in this passage, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul has a tremendous prayer for you. Paul has a tremendous prayer for us. It's actually one of three prayers that he is going to pray in the book of Ephesians. The first one was back in chapter 1, verse 15. Paul prayed that we would really know about God. Later on in Ephesians, he's going to pray that we would be an encouragement to others, that we would pray for others as well. But here in the second prayer, in Ephesians chapter 3, he's going to pray this powerful prayer of endurance, of encouragement to us, that we really would understand how deep the love of God is. A prayer that will keep going even in the midst of difficult times when things get tough. Persevere. Endure. Now there are some things that are common with this prayer and the prayer in chapter 1, but there's also some significant differences as well. The first thing to note is just a different focus. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, the prayer is, Paul prays this petition that we might know about God. But in the second one, it's not just knowing about God, but really knowing God. Knowing God and how much He cares for us. The first prayer is about this idea of knowing God, but the second one is more about how God wants us to be, what God wants us to be, who God wants us to be. The first prayer, again, is about revelation, understanding. The second one is more of enablement, that we would really experience what God would have us experience. It's not just enough to know about God. We've got to be what God wants us to be. We've got to be who God wants us to be. And so in this passage, it's a prayer of motivation to spur us on. It's a prayer of perseverance. Don't we need that? Don't you need perseverance in your life? The ability to keep going when times get tough? Perseverance that will draw near to God? That will keep going on? That will keep serving? That will keep yielding to God? Maybe it's a prayer that will break bad habits in life. Perhaps there are some addictive behaviors in life that we need to get rid of. And perhaps it's a prayer for you to help break some of those habits. Perhaps it's a prayer of perseverance that we could create new, good, and healthy habits. Maybe it's a simple prayer that we will begin our walk with God. And continue and continue and continue in God. Maybe it's a prayer of perseverance in showing love to others. Maybe for you it's a prayer of how to deal with the pain that life has dealt you, that drains us. But I believe that whatever your situation is, this passage in Ephesians 3 is one that you will be able to relate to. And Paul prays that we really will understand the love of God. So I do hope you are at Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13 and read down through verse 19. If you take notes in your Bible, there's two words I want to encourage you to underline. They're right here at the beginning. Verse 13. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Underline that word, discouraged. Verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Underline that word, strengthen. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So in this passage, Paul's going to make three specific requests for us. Things that he wants us to understand about God. I want you to notice, first of all, the requests of Paul. It's interesting, he does so from his knees. He wants us to really understand these three things, and he prays this. First request is that we would receive inner strength from the Holy Spirit. Inner strength from the Holy Spirit. We look there at verse 16, and he says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being. This is the first thing he prays for us, that when we go through tough times, when difficulties come, as they will, when we don't want to continue on, when we want to give up, when we want to throw in the towel, he says, I pray that you'll understand the riches by which He can strengthen you. He wants us in our very inner spirit to understand God's love for us. Now the two words I had you underline were discouraged and strengthened. And the first word, they're discouraged, he goes on, they're exact opposites in the Greek language. It's important to understand exact opposites, to be discouraged, but yet be strengthened. So we find that the solution to our problems of being discouraged is to be strengthened. Sometimes we are weak. Sometimes life comes crashing down on us. And Paul says, don't be discouraged. I pray that you'll be strengthened by God's glorious riches by His Holy Spirit. So here we find the solution to our problems as life gets tough, as it's difficult, comes crashing in, we lose heart, we grow faint. And Paul says, when that happens, I pray you find inner strength from the Holy Spirit. Our finances are going to fail us. Our feelings are going to get hurt. Relationships are going to get strained or broken. Expectations are not going to be met. Life is not going to be fair, to quote a revolving conversation I have with my children. Life is not fair. Health is going to fail us. Tragedy will befall us. And in the midst of that, Paul says, don't be discouraged. Find inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Don't be discouraged. Be strengthened. Now just be honest with me for a minute. Aren't there times when you do just feel drained? When you feel like you can't go on? You're at the end of your rope? And God in those situations can be a very real help out of His glorious riches. Paul says, I pray that He can strengthen you by His Holy Spirit. God can and will strengthen you. His resources have no end. But that's a problem for us because our resources do have limitations, do they not? We have physical limitations in life. But God has no limit to His resources. God has no limitations holding Him back. Everything is at His disposal. And we need to be confident in that, that as we get too drained, as we get too weak, we may feel unable to go on. Our problems are many. The opportunity is not going to be clear. But God is there. God is faithful. Paul prays that we understand that out of God's glorious riches, there's a place for us to turn. Our understanding may be weak, but not His. He says, I pray out of God's glorious riches. The word inner being, this concept of your inner being, speaks of your inner core, your heart, your resolve, your stamina, what drives you. He prays that we can find real inner strength, fortitude, perseverance, not from ourselves, again, but from God's glorious riches through His Holy Spirit. He's praying that we would persevere on no matter what. And friends, as we look at examples from Scripture, again, Old Testament, New Testament, men and women who chose to persevere no matter what. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, these words, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Therefore we do not lose heart. Persevere. Friends, for the Christian, no matter what comes our way, for the Christian, no matter what you're going through, no matter your situation, for the Christian, we have a place to turn. God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have an inner strength available. The Holy Spirit that flows forth from God's glorious riches. And he prays that in times of weakness, that we might somehow actually have power. The word he uses here is a word that we've looked at elsewhere. This word that we get our word dynamite from. That God's Spirit can come and give you strength and power to help you even in troubled times. I just pray that you'll be strengthened. And you can receive inner strength clear down to your core. I feel like we're at the gym or something. Work on your core. Be strengthened in your core. Second, he goes on, he not only prays for this inner strength available by the Holy Spirit, but he prays that we might experience an abiding presence of Christ. Paul writes in verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's praying that we can feel the presence of Christ in our very being, the abiding presence of Christ available through faith. That's to understand that we've got someone to walk beside us. How many of you have seen that picture, the famous picture of the beach and the footprints on the beach? And there's a point where it talks about, you know, there's only one set of footprints. And it's not where God left us, but it's where God carried us. This idea that we have Christ to walk alongside with us. And we live in a world of heartache and despair. All of you, I would guess, rub shoulders every day with people who are disillusioned. They're looking for meaning and purpose in life. People who are struggling because they don't really know what life is about. They go through life, there's this constant void there. Little blips of hope, but there's always a real void there. And they don't know what it is. Perhaps it's not just people that you rub shoulders with, but perhaps, friends, you understand that idea as well. You're at a point in life where you don't know where you're going. You don't know the feelings and emotions that are taking place. What is life really about? Who am I? What do I want? What makes me happy? I feel lost and alone. I don't know what to do. And friends, if that's where you're at, when tragedy strikes, believe me, things are going to come crashing down. But instead, we have a God who loves us. Paul writes, Christ will dwell with us. We realize as Christians, no matter what comes our way, we have a real place to turn. We can get strength from the Holy Spirit, but Christ will come and actually dwell with us. We can feel His abiding presence. How is that possible? How is that possible? This word dwell seems to explain it. It conveys that Christ will come and take up permanent residence. That's the context of the word in the Greek. Christ will come and take up permanent residence. John Stott had these words to share. Christ will settle down in your heart and from His throne both control and strengthen you. Christ will settle down in your heart and from His throne both control and strengthen you. Isn't it great to know that we not only do we have the inner working of the Holy Spirit, but that when we go through situations in life, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will be there to walk beside us, dwell within us. Friends, to be clear, this is only available to those that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot fully experience the full measure of Christ's strength unless you allow Him residence in your life as both Savior and Lord. Here's Paul's prayer. I pray not only that you know these things about God, that's chapter 1, but he continues here, that you really know He'll come and live within you. He'll dwell within you. He'll come and give you strength from the Holy Spirit. Christ will come and dwell in your heart and strengthen you. As Christians, we've got someone to walk beside us. Number 3, not only that we'll get strength from the Holy Spirit, not only that we recognize Christ will come and that we have His abiding presence with us, but also He prays that we'll be rooted and established, strengthened in love. I pray also that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Two metaphors Paul uses here. One is a kind of a botanical concept, being rooted. The other, an architectural concept, being established. The words in the Greek are actually ongoing words. They're active words. This is a little bit disappointing to me, but they're things that we never quite actually accomplish, but we must constantly be working on. We never fully experience the fulfillment of that, but we need to keep working on it, keep developing it. The first one Paul mentions is to be rooted. We all understand big, mighty trees need to be rooted. Growing up, my dad was a builder, and in his builder magazines that he would get, there'd always be pictures of the redwoods from California. Has anyone ever been there? I have not. I'm hoping to one day. I'm making my way further west from Kansas and Colorado, and we'll vacation there at some point. But these big, enormous, massive trees, they must have some root system that allows them to be so tall and not fall over and be tall and mighty and strong. This idea of being rooted down deep. The other word he uses, this being established, talking about a foundation. We all know that a great superstructure requires a great foundation as well, a healthy, strong foundation. And he tells us as Christians, not only do we need to continue on working at being rooted in the love of Christ, but we also need to have this foundation that's built on an understanding of who God is and able to do that, what He's able to do in our lives. So he describes this superstructure. He says, love is supposed to be the foundation of our very lives. Well, again, what does a healthy, strong tree with deep roots do? It produces healthy fruit. What does a strong foundation do? It provides a strong building as well. And that comes from an understanding of the love. He uses this word grasp, that we might have the power to grasp the vastness of Christ's love. This word grasp meaning to reach out, to hold on to the love that is total and complete and eternal and all-encompassing. Paul uses several words to describe this. I pray that you could grasp how all-encompassing God's love is. He uses every dimension of life that's available to Him. How wide, how long, how high, how deep God's love is. Paul wants us to grasp on to Christ's all-encompassing love. Perhaps we could explain it this way, and I challenge you just to perhaps personalize this for a moment. If I was to put these words into use in my own life, perhaps it'd be this way. God's love is wide enough to cover the scope of my sins. Are you thankful for that? God's love is wide enough to cover the spectrum of my sins, the scope of my sins. Maybe talking about the length of God's love, it's long enough to outlast my continued and repeated failures. We are human, are we not? We are failed individuals. I, for one, am prone sometimes to commit the same errors over and over and over again. And if it was me alone, I would probably give up hope and discredit. But God's love is long enough to endure that, to outlast my continued and repeated failures. It's high enough to lift me, though I'm a sinner, up into God's very presence. It's deep enough to deal with even my deepest needs. God's love is deep enough to deal with my deepest needs. And Paul in this passage prays that we'll understand the Holy Spirit is able to come alongside us to strengthen us. Christ can dwell in our hearts. And then he prays that we'll fully understand, or better understand, how wide and long and high and deep God's love is. That we'd be rooted and established. Dig our roots down deep into His love. The very foundation of our life. So that when turmoil comes, when tragedy strikes, when life comes crashing in, that our building, our faith will not crumble. He prays that we really will know from our innermost being. Paul goes on in this passage. He doesn't only tell us these things that he wants us to realize, but Paul also tells us things that he hopes will happen in our lives. The results of Paul's prayer in our life. And Paul again prays two things specifically. The first one he prays is that we'll truly know God's love. And I want you to notice this word, to know the love that surpasses knowledge. Did you catch that? To know the love that surpasses knowledge. His love is unknowable as His riches are unsearchable. We talked about that earlier. But notice he says, know the unknowable. How do you know the unknowable? Isn't that a bit of an oxymoron? I have a few examples this morning, but before I give those to you, just in case you're unfamiliar with that word, an oxymoron is just a figure of speech which produces this incongruous, seemingly self-contradicting effect. So, a phrase, a joining of words that produces a self-contradicting effect. Perhaps you've heard some of these before. That's a fine mess. I'm absolutely unsure. Still moving. You maybe will like this one. Deficit spending. Jumbo shrimp. That's pretty ugly. All alone. Here's one. Government organization. I won't go any farther there. At least not this morning from this stage. I was driving down the road the other day. I noticed this one. Dodge Ram. But here in this passage, Paul prays that we would know the unknowable. We would know the unknowable. When we start thinking about the love of Christ, it's beyond comprehension. We start thinking about God's riches, they are beyond imagination. We can understand that His riches are so great, so fast, so vast, they are beyond our comprehension. We looked at that word before in the book of Ephesians, but here Paul prays that we might just get a glimpse of the unknowable, how great God's love for us is, a love that is so deep, God is willing to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That deep. A love that is so all-encompassing that it's a love He shares with all those who would come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. A love that is so overwhelming that there is no one who is too far gone. There is no one who is too bad. There is no one whose past is so bleak that God's love will not cover their sins. That's how wide, how long, how deep, how high God's love is. And friends, when we start thinking about the all-encompassing love of Christ, it goes beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension. Paul says, I want you to know the unknowable. To catch this glimpse of the unknowable, how vast His love is. I pray that when life gets tough, when you're going through problems in your life, when you don't know where to turn, But you don't not only know about God, but you know God's love for you. You'll understand the riches, the wealth He has, and the ability to come to your aid, to have a knowledge of the unknowable love that He wants to show you. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul continues on. He prays that we'll not only know God's love, but that we'll show God's love. He uses a wonderful phrase here, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I debated on this. Forgive me, Nora. I don't know what your measuring cup is like. But it says that you would be filled to the measure. I mean, my measuring cup would overflow if I experienced God's full love. But I believe that's an image of what He's wanting to happen in our lives. That as we fully understand God's love for us, that it would overflow within us. That that would be an image that others would experience. That we would be a conduit of God's love to flow into others as well. You see, this is why I wanted to go through this series in the book of Ephesians. The whole point is that as a church, we're to strive to become the kind of people that God wants us to be. But as a church, it doesn't end there, friends. It's not just about coming and experiencing and understanding. But it's about understanding and then going and showing and making disciples of others. Exceedingly full, beyond measure with the fullness of God, that we can start showing that love to others. I want you to know God's love, Paul says. I want you to show God's love, to be everything that God has designed us to be. Before the world was created, God had a plan for your life, a purpose for each and every one of our lives. Think about some of the verbiage that Paul uses in this passage, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit from God's glorious riches, to experience His incredible love, His wide and long and high and deep love, that we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Paul's prayer, simply put, is this, that we can understand the love of God so that we can show forth God's love to a world that is lost and alone. I have a prayer I'm going to put on the screen here. I'm just going to read it to you. I want you to notice it's based right out of this passage. But I want to personalize Paul's prayer in our life this morning. So just follow along as I read this. God, we owe our lives to You. We want to serve You. Don't we want to serve God? I mean, don't we want to? He created us. He loves us. Please work within us. He's already promised to do that. And strengthen us. When we're weak, when we don't understand, God can strengthen us. Change us into the kind of people You want us to be. Make the presence of Christ, when He is willing to come and dwell within our lives if we will allow Him to take residence there. Make the presence of Christ so real in our hearts that we sense Your love, that we might show forth Your love. Help us understand how wide and how long, how deep and how high Your love is. Help this understanding to change us into Your very image. We acknowledge that You are beyond anything that we can conceive, and we want to praise You. You alone are God. We want to serve You. Every accolade of worth we throw at Your feet. Help us. Help us this week to love others as You have loved us. That's the point of Ephesians chapter 3. Help us to love others as You have loved us, and give us the strength to endure. That's what Paul is praying for us. That's it. He's praying that we'll realize the love of God that is available to us. The Holy Spirit, again, will come and work within us. Christ will come and dwell with us in our hearts. He wants us to really know, not just about, but really know the love of God that is unknowable, for this purpose, that we can become love to a world that is hopeless. They are in despair. They do not have meaning. God is wanting us, He's wanting to use us to show other people His love. We talked a few weeks ago about how God wants to use the church to share the mystery of Christ with the world. He's going to continue to build on this theme, friends. He wants to use us. He wants us to understand the love He has for us and show that to others. So we're going to pray this morning, and I would just like to ask for a little interaction. If you believe those words, I just ask that you would just meditate on those thoughts one more time. And after that, we're going to sing a song of invitation. It's okay if you want to read off the screen. Scripture says in Matthew 26, watch and pray. So let's pray together. God, we owe our lives to You, and we want to serve You. Please work within us and strengthen us and change us into the kind of people You want us to be. Make the presence of Christ so real in our hearts that we sense Your love, that we might show forth Your love. Help us understand how wide and how long and how deep and how high Your love is. Help this understanding change us into Your very image. We acknowledge that You're beyond anything that we can conceive. We want to praise You. You alone are God. We want to serve You. Every accolade of worth we throw at Your feet. Help us this week, this day, to love others as You have loved us. Give us the strength to endure. Father, You are God. You've created us for a purpose. To love You, to love people, to make disciples. And Father, I pray that we would focus on that. We would understand that we have strength through Your Spirit, through the abiding presence of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and confidence in the love that You have for us. This morning we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.